How's everyone?
Wow. That was boring.
How's everyone?
Great.
That was fake. No, it was okay, it's fine. I suppose that's what happens when you have 2 hours sleep. Not that anyone here did that, of course. No?
No.
Yeah. It's great to be here with you. And it's really good to be covering this topic. Because I think satisfaction is something we all struggle with. For all of us, it's something we try to achieve. And it's satisfaction at every level. So whether it's at academic level, through your studies, through your social life, through your friendships, as you grow up financially, in terms of material possessions, what you own, what you have, all of these things, it's difficult. It's difficult to find the balance between having what you want and looking for it, and then being satisfied with it. And I think we have another problem in that enough is never enough. There is no concept of enough anymore. The problem with your generation is that everything is available. You can get anything you want. You go on the web, and you can find anything, good or bad, productive or destructive. You can find it. Whether it's goods, information, services, whatever you want, beneficial things, productive things, things that build you, or very negative things if you look at, you know, whether it's lots of social media platforms that become inappropriate, if you look at the concept of you know, pornography, which is all over the place, it's something that also is very available, but also very destructive. So you are used to now having desires, wanting to achieve things, and then just pressing a button and getting what you want. What makes it even worse is that we don't really use cash anymore, right? Everything's on a credit card. So whether you can afford it or not, you can have what you want. And that's what we've seen over the last couple of years in particular has gotten the world into such a difficult situation. It's this whole credit crisis. It's the fact that we've been living beyond our means, beyond our abilities. How many of you guys spend beyond your ability, whether it's because your parents give you extra money, or you've got, I don't know, if, you know, overdraft facilities on your accounts, or you can tap into other things? We live beyond our means now. We're very difficult to satisfy. We're difficult to satisfy financially, materially, emotionally. I know that over the past 10 years in particular, and you know, more aggressively over the past 5 years, I would say, marketing has become very aggressive. So you now are much more conscious of branding, of makes and marks, of status symbols, and you will want to always be up to date, whether it's what you're wearing, or you know, your hairstyle, or where you go, or what movies you watch, what music you listen to. There's a very clear definition of what is acceptable now. And one very clear example of that is trending. Right? When you look at trending, whether it's on Twitter or on social media platforms, you trend things. And suddenly it becomes a reality. Just because X is popular, by the admission of some people, makes it popular as a reality. And you want it. You desire it. So we have developing within us this huge hole that's very difficult to fill. This huge hole that can't really be filled by all the material possessions in the world. You know that last season, that thing that you had to have, otherwise you're going to die, whether it be a shirt or a pair of trousers or a bag or something you just had to have, right? If you didn't have it, it was the end of the earth, it was the end of the world. You wouldn't be able to survive. How would people look at you? And then you look at the back of your cupboard now, and it's sitting there, buried, because there's something else now you have to have. And we give in to this so easily. One of the great fathers of the church, St. John Chrysostom, said this. He said, "Riches are not forbidden, but pride in them is." You understand that? It's not wrong, it's not forbidden to be rich. And riches here are relative. You know, I was speaking to the other group earlier, and was saying that, you know, what is wealth? Wealth is a relative term. It could be anything. We could be designated as extremely wealthy if compared to some people. And we can be designated as really borderline if compared to others. So what we have, our possessions, what you wear, what you drive, what you possess, what you own, what you take pride in, it's different to possess something and have it, but then to take pride in it and to brand yourself with it is very important. It's okay to want to wear that shirt, but to brand yourself with that shirt and feel that you are a better person if you have it and a worse person if you don't is wrong. Because what it does is it makes your assessment of yourself and your assessment of others purely on material grounds. So if you wear that shirt, or if you wear those glasses, or if you wear that watch, or whatever it is, you feel really good for wearing it. Or if you see someone wearing it, you have a great deal of respect and admiration for them. I know in one of our services, there's one girl who loves the fact that this other person turns up because she loves her dress sense. She respects and admires how she dresses. And that's what her admiration is tied to. But if you're not wearing that shirt, then you feel less than you should be, and you become covetous. You want it. You desire it. You covet it. And if someone else isn't wearing it, you think that person's a lesser person. So can you see how dangerous that becomes? It changes us from being the image and likeness of God with our own value, regardless of anything else. We have our own value. We have our own value as the children of God. He created us with His image and His likeness. And so we replace that value with a material value that is on the outside. And if I have these things, then I'm not only good, I am better than other people. And if I don't have them, then I feel self-conscious. And you see it a lot, and I'm sure it affects a lot of you at your age, during this stage of life when you go to school. You know, who's carrying what kind of bag? And who's wearing what kind of jeans? And the shoes? You walk in and you feel like you're on top of the world because you have these things, or you feel really broken if you don't. And that's a horrible thing. Because what it does is it objectifies us. It makes us into objects. And says that our value is based on things we put on ourselves or we own, rather than who we really are. And That's very dangerous. It's dangerous because it does this. Deuteronomy, this is a lovely passage. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 10 to 12. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities, which you did not build, houses full of good things, which you did not fill. He has dug out wells, which you did not dig, vineyards, which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, beware lest you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt out of bondage. What does this say? It says God gives us so many things. Things we hold valuable. And when he gives us those things, because our focus is on those things and not on him, then we forget him. If what's your name?
I'm
sure. Sure. That's for him. Okay, so this is Bishwas, right? Okay. Can you
hear that? Yeah.
Say
it's mine.
It's mine.
So it's
mine. Anyway, we're pretending my eyes are true. So Troy has this, and I am standing here, and I have my eye on the news. Right? So my religion of Troy is very sure. Hello, it's nice to see you. Good. How are things? Great. Okay, fine. Really warm questions. Would you give it to me? Good. If I take this juice, therefore, because my relationship with Bishoy was based on this juice, my relationship with Bishoy had just come to an end. There's no more juice. That's what we do with God. God, I really want that thing. I really want it. Can I have it? Well, not mine. Okay, I'll keep praying for it. Can I have it now? Well, not mine. Okay, I'll keep praying for it. Now? It's like over there. Now? Okay, now? Yes, okay, now. Can I have it? Great. I take it. Well, if my relationship with God was based on this thing that I want, and I now have it in my hand, why should I have a relationship with him? And sometimes it's intentional, and sometimes it's completely unintentional. Sometimes it's, yes, I'll pray for this thing, and once I have it, I don't need to pray anymore. But sometimes it's I'll pray, and the minute I have it, and the minute I'm so happy that it's in my hand, I am so distracted by it, and I'm so happy that I have it now, that I forget anything else, including God. So my focus becomes on the objects that I want, and the things that I want, and not on God. And that becomes dangerous. Because the minute I get bored of this, I have nothing else to hold on to. In particular, let's say, think of wealth. People who spend their lives accumulating wealth. And we saw this happen so many times, and we still see it happen. People who spend their whole lives accumulating wealth, and then suddenly they lose that wealth. What happens? They feel like they've lost part of themselves. Because they associate themselves with their wealth, not with who they are. They believe that in their own eyes, as well as in the eyes of others, all they mean is wealth. So, what's your name?
Mira.
If I think that Mira likes me, just because I have his juice, which is fine, right? So, if Mira likes me, and I start to believe it, I start to believe that people like me because I'm cool or I'm popular or I have this hairstyle. Actually, it's cool, you can't see it. Or I have this hairstyle, or I am intelligent, or I get good marks in this, or I drive this car, and I really believe it. And that's why I want to have what's better, what's more cool, what's more new. The minute I lose this, I lose part of myself, and I think Mira doesn't like me anymore. Because, rightly or wrongly, my impression is she has liked me because I have this thing. So therefore, I end up defining myself by what I do or don't have. And I become poorer for it. I become weaker for it. I become self-conscious. And I always have to mix in. You know, the guy who always, always has to say the last joke. Because you feel if you don't, then people won't laugh and appreciate you anymore. The girl who always has to look pristine. Because if she doesn't, then people won't like her anymore. The person who always has to flaunt whatever he has or whatever she has. We need to be satisfied within ourselves, of ourselves. We need to be satisfied in relationship with God that exceeds what He can give us. Because what He can give us is small in this world compared to what He gives us in the world to come. Revelation 2:4 is one of the scariest verses in the Bible. Some people think Revelation is scary anyway. But this is one of the scariest. Nevertheless, I have this against you. What is it? Anyone know? That you have left your first love. Nevertheless, I have this against you. That you have left your first love. Speaking about God, of course, because God is the one who loved us so much that He created us. Loves us so much that He came and took flesh to save us and wait for us in His kingdom. But we forget Him because we become distracted by lots of other things. Because we're not satisfied by enough by anything in the world. So we're constantly running after things. We want to accumulate more money. We want to make more friends. We want to get more degrees. We want to get more promotions. And you know, they're all viable things. There's nothing wrong with making money or having friends or getting degrees or getting promotions. Nothing wrong with them at all. But the minute we define ourselves only by those things, and we don't feel a sense of satisfaction, then we're in this hamster wheel. What do you guys call them? Not hamsters, you call it donkeys. Hamsters?
Yeah?
Hamsters. Because you have strange language in this country. You say A after everything. And then you have this incredible sport that I don't understand. No, not hockey. It's a sport. It's a sport that I am convinced. No, it's a sport that I'm convinced was created by bored janitors in high school corridors. Correct me if I'm wrong, but these guys were sitting down one evening thinking it's too cold to go outside, we've cleaned the corridor, how can we make cleaning the corridor more fun? let's glide this bucket down the corridor and see if we can polish it really hard. And hit the guy sitting over there. Obviously, in the Olympics, it wouldn't really be good hitting someone, so they had to put in something. I digress. Anyway, hamster wheels, right? You're running around in this hamster wheel, and it just goes nowhere. But you're still running. You know, it's great if you're running to achieve a target. It's great if you're running to hit a target with your mileage. You know, you do a certain number of miles a day, or you want to achieve a level of fitness, and you're running for that. Or you want to make a bus or a train. or you want to be on time for an appointment, that's all fine to run. But running for the sake of running, and never having an end, and just constantly around and around and around. Now, a house doesn't need that. And you sit there and think, silly animal. Seriously, what are you doing? Just running around. But we do exactly the same thing. We have our own really big hamster wheels. It's called life. And we just keep running. And we keep chasing something that we're never, ever, ever going to catch. You know why? Because that something is a myth. It's called satisfaction. If we're chasing worldly satisfaction, it is a myth. Because it doesn't exist. The Bible tells us that he who loves wealth is never satisfied by wealth. Because the more wealth you have, the more wealth you want. The more possessions you have, the more possessions you want. The more pride you have, the more friends you have. And so on and so forth. And so we need to be careful that in the midst of this hamster wheel of life, we don't forget our first love. Because he never forgets us. I want us to understand something. Please, love of God, I'm looking at you. And I love you all dearly. Each and every one of you. And you are wonderful young people. I can see it in your eyes. I can see it with the intent with which you are listening. God loves you for who you are. Not for who you think you are. God loves you for who you are, not for who you want to be. You can be the biggest sinner on earth and God still loves you. You can feel like you're the biggest failure. God still loves you. Does he want us to do more with our lives? Probably. Does he want us to reach greater success? Probably. Does he want us to be more focused sometimes? Probably. Does he love us less? Absolutely not. And if that doesn't give us satisfaction, nothing. We so often yearn for human emotion. How many of us have done ridiculous things to gain human affection? We've ridiculed ourselves. We've done stupid things. We've said silly things. We've flirted. We've sold ourselves short. We've made the wrong decisions. We've lived a sinful life. We've lied to seek human affection that is here today and gone tomorrow. But God's affection is there for us. God's love is there for us. And it doesn't change. And it's uncompromising. But it doesn't make us feel as good. Because we don't feel it as tangible. But it's real. God loves you for who you are. Why do people allow themselves to get into abusive relationships? Because they feel it's all they're worth. They feel that if they don't put up with this relationship, then they might not get anything else. Why do people chase life and get onto this hamster wheel? Because they think that's what gives them their definition. Because they won't be respected or loved for anything else if they don't have influence or power or money or looks. How many of us are so obsessed with personal appearance and body image now? And you know what? Don't misunderstand me. We have to be healthy. We have to look after our bodies. We're the temple of God. The Holy Spirit abides in us. It's a gift given to us. So yes, be healthy. Be strong. Look after yourselves. But it's become an obsession. Because we feel like if we don't, then people will look at us differently. We'll look at us differently. We respect ourselves. Girls, don't measure yourself by how guys look at you. It's irrelevant.
It's nice.
It's irrelevant. It doesn't give you a worth. Guys, don't measure yourselves by how girls look at you. At this particular stage of your lives, it's a big thing. Of course it's a big thing. You want to be attractive, but you are attractive. You're beautiful. Guys, girls, both of you, you're beautiful. To God, you're beautiful in yourselves, as yourselves. Don't change yourself to become beautiful because you don't need to. Have that understanding and be satisfied in yourself. Don't get into relationships for the sake of getting into relationships just because you think it values you. Because you think if you're not, then you look a bit odd. You're not as popular. Because that's wrong. Because these relationships generally become a source of your pain, not a source of your satisfaction. They actually end up, at some stage, generally devaluing you rather than giving you value. Your first love is always there. If you seek the world, you'll never have enough. But if you seek the creator of this world, he gives you everything in abundance. Because he is perfect. And there is no one and nothing above him. Don't assess who you are by how the world reacts to you. Because the world's quite fickle. Luke 7:32. They're like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to another saying, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned and you didn't weep. We tried to be the clowns and you didn't laugh. We tried to tell you a sob story and you didn't cry for us. We tried to become popular by being extroverted and it didn't make a difference. We tried to be soft and rather than being introverted and it didn't make a difference. Be who you are. Be vulnerable to God and to people you trust. Your families, your good friends. Don't make yourselves vulnerable to anything or anyone else. Because they will be the people who hurt you. But your vulnerability is in a safe place when you've got. You're in safe hands. I know that none of you here will ever own up to it. But the world is a scary place. It's scary because sometimes you feel alone and sometimes you feel too crowded in by lots of people around you. Sometimes you feel like you have too much on your shoulders and sometimes you feel like you have nothing and you feel void. Sometimes you're scared by how much attention is given to you. And sometimes you're hungry because no one gives you attention. It's a scary place. But in and with God, it doesn't have to be scary. If I could take a picture of you now, and the way you're looking, and how your eyes are open, that's a measure of how much you love God and how much you're looking for the truth. I'm not making any of this stuff up. These aren't my words. I'm telling you scripture. I'm telling you God's word. And you are so hungry for it with your eyes. and with your heart, because the eye is the lamp of the body. You're so hungry for it. Don't deprive yourself of it. If you're hungry for it now, then find it. It's as close as Scripture, as close as your Bibles. I don't know when the last time you opened your Bibles, but I hope it was this morning. If it wasn't, make it this afternoon and make it every day. Seek the riches that do not perish, where moth cannot eat away, where rust cannot destroy, and where thief cannot steal. Those are the words of our Lord. Seek riches in heaven. Look for riches where riches actually are. In the Word of God. In God's heart for you. In His love for you. You know what? In the world, it's easy to be distracted. You know the parable of the sower. The sower goes out and sows seeds, throws seeds. And the seed is the Word of God. Speaking about the ones that fell among the thorns. Now, these are the ones among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and then the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things enter and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So you hear the word. You will hear it. And it's beautiful. But then as you're listening to it, and as it tries to put in roots, as it tries to grow, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enters and chokes it. This beautiful word that could have grown in you into a beautiful, fruitful tree has become short. Because of the deceitfulness of this world. Because of things that are here today and gone tomorrow. What do thorns do? They prick you, they make you bleed. You touch them and they hurt you. And yet with the world, we touch these thorns over and over and over again. Knowing every time they're going to prick us. Knowing every time they're going to make us bleed. But we still chase them. And we hold on to them. And although it hurts, we keep holding on to them. Sometimes we hold on to things in the world because we feel like if we let them go, then we have nothing. You know, we become hoarders. We hoard things. We hoard possessions. We hoard affection. We hoard emotion. We hoard people's interests. We hoard. We hoard all these things and we store them. The more attention I get, the more attention I want, because I'm afraid that I won't have it. The more love I get, the more love I want. The richer I get, the richer I want to be. We hoard things. It is not a problem to receive attention, as long as the right attention, or to become rich if it's legitimate, and so on and so forth. But to hoard it, we hoard it because we fear. But Hebrews 13:5 reminds us of something very important. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things you have. For he, God, himself said, and this is beautiful, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Ever. God will never leave us and never forsake us. Provide for us even more than we need. I want to conclude with this one passage that you will honor. Matthew 6:19-20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Invest in heaven. Invest in the relationship with God. That's where you want to accumulate things. Imagine if I were to tell you that every day I would give you $100, and you have two places where you can go. There's a strong metal box with a lock on it. You can put it in and lock after it. Or there's a paper shredder. You can just put it straight into the shredder. Think about this. It's a difficult question. Where would you put it? In the box. Why? So it's safe, and so it builds up, and so it accumulates, because it's protected. In the shredder, it just goes through and is destroyed. It becomes worthless and useless. We invest so much of our lives in this shredder of life, because everything that goes is gone. Every time we invest in this world alone, it disappears. But if we invest in heaven, it's there always. And I know everyone tells you about this sort of investing in heaven. What does it mean? It means seeking that which cannot be taken away. A relationship with God, in His Word, in the Bibles. Open your Bibles every day. Practically. Read God's Word every day. You know what? If any of today's words have touched you, I haven't made any of them up. They're all from the Bible. None of this is my own creation. They're all verses. Verse after verse after verse after verse. All God's Word. If you've been touched by any of that, open your Bible every day. And just as God sent me a message when I opened my Bible to prepare this for you, He will send you a message when you open your Bible and you seek a message for yourself. He will. Secondly, pray. Invest in a relationship with Him. Speak to Him. Express yourself. Express your love. Tell Him what you want. Tell Him what you didn't like. And thirdly, give yourself enough time to listen to Him. Now that sounds a bit strange, but give yourself enough time to listen to Him. God will talk to you. He will talk to you. Because He wants you to know how much He loves you. So if we keep chasing this world on this hamster wheel, we keep spinning in the same orbit and picking no joy. But if we keep laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven, then we build up that which moth, rust, thief, or just the finality of life cannot take away. That is built up for us in God's glory, His kingdom, where He loves us and waits for us. Glory to God.